Hello, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And today I am honored to bring you Sandra Gumerov. And Sandra loves to go by the name of Sandy. And so I'm pleased to bring Sandy to you today. And I'd like to tell you a little bit more about her. Sandy has enjoyed a distinguished legal career that spans nearly 30 years, practicing in the areas of special needs, corporate law, banking, commercial finance, real estate, workouts, and creditor rights. Her experience encompasses a wide spectrum of legal matters, both advisory and transactional, on behalf of domestic and foreign financial institutions, corporations, and individuals. Sandy earned her BA degree from the School of Government and Public Administration at American University and a JD degree from Hofstra University Law School. She worked for Senator Charles Goodell and later for North Carolina Congressman James Broyhill as a legislative assistant and caseworker. The birth of Sandy's first child was the defining moment that literally changed her life. She now defines herself as a lawyer, an advocate, and most importantly, the parent of a developmentally disabled, learning disabled, and medically involved young adult. After realizing that many parents of children with disabilities were facing similar issues as she, Sandy began providing them assistance and support both personally and professionally. She refocused her practice to the acquisition of vital services for those in need, including special education, guardianships, life planning, estate planning, and special needs trusts. She created a special needs resource known as AdvoKidsBlog.com. Again, that's AdvoKidsBlog.com, which I encourage you to check out. And this is a resource that provides an active forum for such topics and issues. As a crusader for special needs, Sandy has testified before the New York State Assembly and the New York State Senate on pertinent issues affecting the disability community. Most recently, she faced the New York State Senate Finance Committee with her daughter Lauren by her side. She also participated in the National Town Hall meeting sponsored by Advancing Futures for Adults with Autism Spectrum Disorders. Sandy has participated in continuing legal education programs for the New York State Bar Association, the Nassau County Bar Association, Suffolk County Bar Association, and the Academy of Special Needs Planners. She's also presented seminars for parents of children with disabilities for the Nassau AHRC, Life's Work, and the Developmental Disabilities Institute, among others. Most recently, Sandy was named the Turow Law School Public Interest Attorney of the Year and a trustee of Life's Work Supplemental Pool Trust. She received the E.P. Maxwell J. Schleifer Distinguished Service Award, Mets Spirit Award during Disability Awareness Night at Shea Stadium for her work on behalf of disabled Americans. She was voted Woman of the Year by the town of Oyster Bay. She was a participant in the National Town Hall meeting sponsored by Advancing Futures for Adults with Autism Spectrum Disorders, which resulted in a national agenda to be presented at a conference in Washington, D.C. later this year. Sandy is president of AHRC, Inc., a vice president of AHRC Nassau, treasurer of the Brookville Center for Children's Services, and is active in the NYSARC Board of Governors and the Birchwood Civic Association. She also has been active with the Jericho School Board, the Nassau Suffolk School Board Association, the Sturge Weber Foundation, and the New York State School Boards Association. She's a member of the Nassau County Executive Autism Subcommittee on Adult Autism and a member of the Association of Special Needs Planners. Devoted to the Long Island community where she lives and practices, Sandy contributes both time and talent to many, many good causes. She has been recognized several times over the years for her community service and her achievements. She is a sought-after expert speaker in the areas of special needs and corporate law. Sandy also teaches a course on special education law as an adjunct professor at St. Joseph's College. She will soon be inducted into the Jericho High School Hall of Fame. Sandy resides with her husband, Jeff, in Jericho, New York, and is a proud mother of three lovely daughters. Thank you so much, Sandy, for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
And we talked before the call a moment. With all of those accomplishments and activities, it does make one wonder if you find time to sleep.
No, I really do, but not for long.
I don't know how you could, and there's so many worthwhile activities in there, really important activities. So, my goodness, I just thank you for all of the what you give of yourself to others through this incredible list of activities and things that you're involved with.
Well, I've learned to follow my passions, and all of these activities are part of that.
I wonder if, as you say that, that might be something that comes up even as we have our discussion throughout the call, because it sounds like that's certainly something that you have learned to do and spend your life and your time doing. Well, why don't we then, with that, we'll just jump into some of these interview questions, and we can use them as a foundation and then just have a conversation based on them. The first of them, it's about looking back as before we look forward and before we talk about kind of current and future things, looking back on your life and your work, do you feel like you were always pretty good at balancing your work and your life and finding ways to make them work together? Or is that something, and I think it was alluded to maybe in your biography, but you may have a different answer than that, but was there a pivotal moment or a particular point where you found that you needed to do something different to create that kind of work-life balance or integration?
I was not good at balancing work and life when I initially became an attorney, and I was working at one of the money center banks. I was working for Manufacturers Hanover, and I had a great tendency to be a workaholic. That really changed when my oldest daughter was born. Lauren was born with disabilities, special needs, and we knew at birth that she was at high risk, but we didn't know what was going to happen. And her birth really changed my entire perspective and my whole paradigm of life, because the day before she was born, I thought all kinds of things like, you know, money and success defined in terms of the corporate life was important. And I was on that ladder. I was doing really well. I was number two in my department. I thought I was really hot stuff, so to speak. The day after Lauren was born, that all changed, because what became important was her. Was she going to live? What kind of disabilities was she going to have? What kind of care was she going to need? And all of a sudden, all those things that we initially think are important became less important. So the pivotal point for me in my life was when she was born, and my choices and my goals for myself and my family changed. So I continued to work in the corporate world for another 10 years, mostly because Lauren's father left and I needed to support her. But when I remarried and decided to have a second child, I changed everything. But I learned to balance because there were needs that Lauren had that I had to take care of, and my family became the reason for my working, as opposed to work being my life and defining myself in terms of my job and work. That changed.
Mm. Wow, as you say that, just thinking about how those priorities flip from having the family becoming sort of a place where the family becomes the reason for working rather than working for the family. It was just as you said that, it's a really interesting way that those priorities shifted dramatically, it sounds like, at that point in your life. Wow, what an amazing journey, and the strength that you showed, having a daughter with those special needs and being raising her alone, it sounds like, for a while until you remarried, must have been incredibly challenging. And
you know that you don't think about it, or at least I never thought about it. I did what I had to do. Lauren had some significant issues. She had a seizure disorder. She has bilateral glaucoma. She needed surgeries and hospitalizations. But I loved her from the minute she was born. And when you love someone and you care for them and you just do it. Looking back, I can admit that it was hard. It was really hard. But at the time, I just did what I had to do.
Like you said, sometimes I think you just do what you need to do. You don't realize, and yet from the outside looking in, or for you looking back, you think, wow, it was really hard. For me, sitting here listening to your story, I just think, Wow, I mean, that must have been incredibly challenging. But for you, it was just life at the time, it sounds like. And like you said, when you have a child or someone you care for that you love and that, you know, you'll do anything for them, so you just do it. But wow, that's an amazing journey. And it led you to all, I mean, as looking back on your bio and thinking about that, it seems like it's led you to the work and so much of what you focus your work and your passions and your activities on came from that experience that came into your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a defining moment, and over time led me to where I am now. If I didn't have Lauren, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would be as satisfied both professionally and personally as I am with my life.
Wow. Oh, wow. That was talk about a pivotal moment. I mean, that's really a line in the sand, it sounds like, in your life, where there's everything, both personally and professionally, in your career, as a mother, everything changed. So, wow. Well, with that, and maybe it segues, or maybe there's something else, but in terms of your biggest challenge or struggle, looking at that spectrum of your life, of your career, what has been that challenge or struggle that you would say was primary or that comes to mind, top of mind, in attempting, as you've tried to attempt, to create success and create fulfillment? What would you say your biggest challenge or struggle has been?
The biggest challenge and struggle I faced was figuring out a way to be a parent to my children, a wife to my husband, and develop myself professionally and be successful, however we each define success professionally. I knew when I remarried, when Lauren was about 8 or 9 years old, that I wanted to spend more time with my family, that when Jeff and I decided to have another child, that I wanted to be her mother. Because what was the point of my quitting my job? What I decided to do when we decided to have Mira was to quit my job and open a law practice. The reason for that was we needed my income, and I wanted to be home. I had missed a lot of the fun times with Lauren. I didn't get to do Mommy and Me. I didn't get to spend a lot of non-medical time with her. We either were running to doctors or running to hospitals in my time off. But there was a whole realm of fun things that I saw my friends doing with their kids that I never got a chance to do. And I knew if I continued working, at that time I was general counsel to a commercial finance company, if I continued at my job, I'd never have that time. And I made a decision that I wanted to have more family time, and I wanted to raise my kids, and I wanted to do Mommy and Me and gymnastics and take, you know, horseback riding and ice skating and all that stuff that I was unable to do with Lauren. So I quit my job and I opened a law practice in my home. And I decided to move my practice from corporate law to special needs. And that was also a pivotal decision because I found that that's my passion. I've really committed to working with and educating family members, parents, siblings, etc., in ways to help their special needs family members and to help them solve their problems. I like to think that if someone has an issue with special needs, I may not know the answer, but I know where to get the answer. And so I've moved from a corporate practice that I loved. I really enjoyed what I did as a corporate lawyer, but I've been able to combine my passion for the special needs community with my professional life. And it's really an exciting area because every single day I do at least one thing that makes somebody's life better. Mm. And I don't know if everybody can say that.
No, I'm sure they can't. I'm sure they can't. And how wonderful for you that you've found that place where you are working within an area that you are passionate about, and you can sincerely say every day that you found a way to make someone's life better, to make a difference in the life of someone. It's beautiful. It's ideal. It's what so many people search for and sometimes don't find, and yet would find more happiness maybe if they could find that place where they were making a difference each day and feeling good about that.
You know, the other struggle is not to fall into the 9-to-5 trap or the 9-to-9 trap. Finding that balance between working and dealing with my law practice and my clients and making sure that I have that time with my family. I remember when my youngest daughter is now in college, the first time she came home from college and she wanted me to spend some time with her in the afternoon, and I was like, I have all this work to do. And then I looked at the picture. I have pictures of my kids around. And I said, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. And the reason was so that if I wanted to spend time with my kids and my husband, I could without having to answer to anybody. So that's another balance, I think, on a very day-to-day basis we have to think about.
Exactly. Wow. What would you say then would be, has been your biggest lesson? And maybe it's part of that, or again, maybe it's something distinct, but along your journey, along your path, both personally and professionally, the biggest lesson that you have found to be true and to be a powerful lesson that you've learned in your life?
With respect to my life, it's been to accept people for who they are and look at their strengths. When I talk to people about Lauren with all of the issues that she faces, she's still, as a young adult, the happiest person I know. And I've learned a lot from her in looking at life as half full and trying to look at the positives and maybe a little denial of the negatives. Professionally, I've learned to combine my passion for helping people and working with other professionals, creating strategic alliances with groups, other attorneys and individuals that can help further my personal and professional goals, which tend to merge. I don't have, my daughter Mira pointed this out to me actually, I don't have real distinct lines between my personal life and my business life. I love to speak in front of groups, so I tend to do that fairly frequently, and I enjoy it. It's like part of my life. The distinctions are kind of blurred. A lot of professionals I know have a business life, and then mostly as part of their business life, they participate in boards, or their companies or organizations expect them to participate in not-for-profits or whatever. For me, that line is blurred, because I love doing it, and obviously I'm involved in a number of organizations that work with individuals with disabilities, but it's not distinct. I don't know if that was well stated or not, if you understand what I mean. But
I do.
To me, the creating the success has been that the passions have merged, and my life is really all part and parcel of both my professional and personal life.
When you were just saying that, the word seamless came to my mind, and I don't know if you would say that's appropriate or not, but it seems like
there's
this seamless flow for you back and forth between what may be most clearly defined as personal or professional, but for you, there's not a, like you said, there's not a clear line. It's seamless between the two.
Exactly.
It's and as you said earlier, actually, I think even before we started the call, you just said to follow your passions, and it seems like that's exactly what you've done, and that's what's led you to that seamless way of being, both personally and professionally, that gives you also such fulfillment.
Yes. No, that's absolutely true. I'm not quite sure how I got to that point. It just kind of flowed. But I feel that it's seamless. And I recently had I was inducted into my high school Hall of Fame, and I had to talk about my life. And I spoke about it in those terms, and when I asked Mira to review my speech, she said to me, you know, Mom, I kept thinking it should be more about business, and it was very personal. And she said, But you don't have a separate life, business and personal. It really is one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I think it is seamless.
Yeah, it sounds like when you're talking about your personal life, you are talking about your professional life and vice versa.
So, yeah.
It's a wonderful way to be and to think of and to find that place where you can work professionally, make a living at what you're doing, but also find such deep fulfillment in it. It's I think it's a lofty ideal that many people search for, and you know, if they could maybe tap into those places where they have passion and find a way to make a living at it as well, they might find some of that seamlessness that you've experienced. What then, Sandy, maybe taking from that or other things that you've experienced, what would you say would be your top two or three tips or tools or strategies, just ways that you've found that have assisted you as you have been on that journey? Like you said, you haven't, you don't know how you got there, but you got there, and that's the amazing thing. And are there strategies or tools or just ways of doing things that you could share that you think would help, that helped you and might help others achieve that kind of personal and professional success?
I think the first thing is to figure out what your passion is, what you really enjoy, and to follow that through to see what you want to do. Because I think if you know what your passion is and you can find a way to have your, to follow your passion in both your professional and personal life, it's more fulfilling. I also think creating strategic alliances with individuals and organizations, and not just, you know, we all think of professional, of the professional life when we talk about strategic alliances. We don't often think about it in our personal life, but I think it can help with both, both professional and personal. Finding people that you enjoy being with and doing things with, whether they're professional or personal, I think is important. And I also think that you should find things you like to do. As I said before, I have certain strengths, one of which is speaking, either public speaking or doing continuing legal education courses for the bar associations or speaking for private organizations. I love doing it, and it's one of my strengths, and I try and capitalize on our strengths. You know, so often we think about what are our weaknesses and how can I improve my weaknesses. Well, they're my weaknesses. If I can capitalize on my strengths, I'm happier because I'm doing stuff generally I enjoy. Excuse me. And I'm also better at doing it. If there's something I don't do well, maybe I shouldn't be doing it. I also think that mentoring and working with others who are interested in the same things that you're interested in can be very satisfying and very helpful and help you grow. I think we always have to look for those challenges and things that help us grow as a person as well as professionally. I hope that answers your question.
It does. I'm actually taking notes because it's all really amazing. And as you say, looking for those challenges that help you grow, and thinking back on earlier in our conversation when you were talking about, and I said it must have been challenging, and you know, you said you just do what you have to do, but it sounds like those challenges that you experienced were huge growth opportunities for you, even though you might not have felt like they were at the time, but looking back on your career and your life since then, how much you've grown personally and professionally into this person that you're, the life you're living now, where there is the seamlessness, there is the fulfillment, there is the feeling that you're giving back and making a difference every day, but that was all rooted in what maybe felt like a challenge at the time.
You know, you also have to be willing to take risks. I remember 20 years ago, oh God, I'm getting old, when Mira was born and I decided to start my practice, that was a risk. I knew I never wanted to be in private practice. I never knew what it meant. And then I made an actual conscious decision to move my practice to special needs. And I didn't know at the time if I could make a living at it. I just didn't know if there was a business, you know, if people would be willing to pay for the kinds of services that I was looking to offer. And I can tell you it's been incredibly successful. But I didn't know that at the time, and I was really, I'm really happy I took the risk. The other thing is that if it wasn't for Lauren, I would be a very different person. And so, you know, often people will say to me, oh, what a shame. And I go, no, she's really happy, and she changed my life in a way that made me who I am today, and I don't think I would be the person I am today if it wasn't for her, those challenges, and then, of course, meeting my husband, who was incredibly supportive about my quitting my job and opening my practice and supported me in doing all the things I've wanted to do. And my kids for being supportive also.
Yeah. And when you talk about taking risks and realizing that sometimes that's what it takes to find that place where your passion is meeting your vocation and your career and where it's all wrapping up together, sometimes it takes a leap of faith, like you took in starting your own practice in maybe an area of law that wasn't as widely known, wasn't as accepted, or maybe people thought maybe you were making a mistake, but you've created something that not only has been very successful, as you said, but gives great service to people who need someone like you, mm-hmm. someone who understands, someone who can navigate these complicated systems with a heart of experience and of not empathy as if it was something bad, but of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're offering something to folks that is absolutely unique and wonderful for them, that I'm sure they're grateful and thankful to encounter you in your practice.
I hope so.
I would think so. I can't imagine it being any other way. And as you said, with your daughter Lauren, that you wouldn't be the same person. And sometimes we look on these things in our life that seem challenging, but I mean, it goes beyond looking for a silver lining. Sometimes those things are the very things that change us forever in a very positive way that we can't mm-hmm. even anticipate as they're happening. But looking back, we realize that was the pivotal moment. That was the big change that made us into what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What an incredible journey you've had, Sandy, and experiences that you've shared and that you've used them. And like you said, what other people might look at and say, oh, isn't that a shame or something, that you've embraced them and used them to make incredible differences in the lives of people that you've touched, including people who are listening to this interview and reading the words of this interview. So I thank you. I thank you for just being the incredible woman that you are and role model that you've been for your girls and for other women attorneys and other people, just to find that place where your passion meets your work to make that seamless life. So thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Oh, you're very welcome also. Sandy, before we wrap up, are there any, as I'd love to for you to be able to share a little bit about Advocates and other work that you're doing so that folks who are interested can find out more about you, the organizations you're involved with, and the good work you're doing out there.
Well, I consider myself a special needs attorney. I represent individuals and families who have family members with disabilities, whether it's physical, psychological, or developmental, although I'm very connected to the developmental community because my daughter is developmentally disabled. In any event, you can reach me either by email smg@smgesq.com or by telephone at 516-822-3397. My website is smgesq.com and my blog is advokidsblog, advocatesblog.com, where we try to have some kind of discussions about issues facing families with disabilities. I'm available to speak to any group. I speak to groups on issues, whether they're special education issues or government benefits such as SSI and Medicaid, and issues on supplemental needs trusts and estate planning, and how basically there are two fundamental issues that parents of children with disabilities face. One is, who's going to take care of my child when I'm gone? Guardianship, for example. And the second is, how do I maintain my child's quality of life? And a lot of that has to do with estate planning and the use of supplemental needs trusts. But I also do divorce consulting where there's a special needs child, employment issues that face employers when they're working with individuals with disabilities. So it's a very wide-ranging practice that touches many areas.
And it sounds like all rooted in that special needs foundation, but lots of different, any sort of way under that umbrella that folks might need you or when a special needs person is involved.
Absolutely. I mean, if there is a question about special needs, I have enough contacts in the community that if I don't know the answer, I usually know where to find the answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds like you're an amazing resource for folks who have someone close to them or have that relationship with a special needs person and maybe have, who knows, like you said, a gamut of different situations that might come up in their life or that they want to prepare for, that you either you have the information and can help them and support them, or you certainly know where to point them to.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Sandy, I'd just like to thank you again for your time today, for everything you've shared, for giving folks a bit of a view into your life and your journey, the challenges you've come up against and how you've used them to just become an incredibly successful, fulfilled person who is serving others along the way. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I hope that this conversation proves helpful to others.
I'm sure it will. So thank you very much. So until next time, we'll wrap up our time together with Sandy, and I look forward to sharing this interview and this information with countless women attorneys out there and maybe even people that they know who have someone close to them with special needs that could use Sandy and the wisdom that she shared today. So until we meet again, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And I wish you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being with us today. Bye-bye.